broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us. Thank God. I just saw this on Twitter. Okay? Keep an eye on your speedometer tomorrow. California Highway Patrol will begin its 24-hour maximum enforcement period Tuesday morning as officers target speeding drivers throughout the state. Thank God I am not in that communist state anymore.
Well, are you you're headed back there?
Not tomorrow, but not today. When today, this is in effect. Today.
I know. It's going to be...
No, it's just today.
Oh, it's just a one-day.
One-day.
One-day sale.
It begins at Tuesday at 6 a.m., lasts until Wednesday morning.
Are you a big speeder? How do you speed out there when you have traffic?
You can't.
Who are they catching?
2 miles an hour.
Who are they going to catch?
That's it. 2 miles an hour is all. Oh, my God. Ryan Spader put out, Yordan Alvarez leads the AL. Look at this list. Look at this. Look at the... This is what Yordan Alvarez leads the league in.
Oh, my God.
It's like a... it's like...
That's easily 40 things. 35 categories, it looks like. So that's every made-up analytics category you've ever seen.
6, 8, right. 10, 12, 14, 16, 8. It's about 35. 35 different things he leads the league in. He is incredible. He is incredible. And he plays tonight. Back at it in Baltimore. The Houston Astros, fresh off a huge win. They're one of the best teams in baseball right now. One in a row. No, I mean, honestly. Who beat the Yankees? They did. Did you see the fight in the stands, the Rangers, the Yankee fan?
No, I didn't see that.
They were throwing haymakers yesterday.
I didn't see the Jokic brothers. No, that was old, I think.
No, the brothers? That happened the other night.
That was the other night?
Yeah.
I didn't know if somebody rehashed some old footage. But, yeah. You got to stop. They're ready to fight. They're ready to go to jail.
Yeah.
You just have to stop. Of course, they did look like the aggressors there. I'm saying you have to stop. I'm not sure that they're not the ones who started.
Yeah.
I don't think they sit and mind their own business.
Yeah, just never. If they're around you, your head down.
Reached over and punched a guy in the face.
No, that's just good, clean fun. Rockets with another night off tonight. And they will play tomorrow.
Another day of 24-hour round-the-clock, recovery for is what I like, is that this 24-hour. I saw the video that you were talking about with Kevin Durant's eyes.
Yeah.
Checks out with what I was hearing.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who said, the streets say he stays high all the time. Everyone who, people who know him say it's literally basketball, weed, and that's about it. Only two things he does. And I said that I talked to you about that the other night before that game, and then on the phone, and then that very day there's a video of him on the bench. Oh my God, I didn't recognize it on TV when I saw him, but then when I saw the video and really focused in on it from what you were talking about, holy crap, because it said Kevin Durant high than a mohawk, and I was looking and wow, I thought, well, this is like an easy one. This is for sure. This post is right. So,
how good is this? I never saw this hack before. Look what she's doing. She's putting a scarf around her neck on an airplane and around the seat, and then it's just like a
pillow.
It's a hammock for your head.
Yeah.
So, how many times have you your head bounces because you're so tired?
Just yesterday.
Yes.
I only got 3 hours of sleep the night before. I woke up at 1 in the morning, 1 in the morning Pacific.
So you put a scarf around the back of the airplane seat, and then you tie it around.
Well, it looks like you're choking yourself to death.
It does look like you're choking yourself, but you got yourself a nice little head hammock.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to do that.
Why?
It's going to draw too much unwanted attention.
I don't know.
What is this person doing? I'll just keep doing this move.
Yeah, I know. Wake up every second.
I got it. I had it locked in yesterday for a little bit where I think I slept for about 11 minutes, maybe 7 minutes. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It's good to be back here. I mean, I did like the temperature there. I did like the temp.
The temp was good.
I do like, but
We got it. We're down to the 70s this week here.
I saw Thursday. We get a bunch of rain and it cools.
Yeah, but
down again.
Tomorrow for our golf tournament, 90. It'll be great.
Yeah, see, it's going to be great.
Well, with flash floods, thank God.
Wait a minute.
Flash flood warnings tomorrow.
While we're playing?
Yeah, it'll be great.
Really?
Yeah. But I just can't wait to see Dell swinging club tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun. So fun to watch him play golf. Yeah.
So I do a lot of podcasts today. So today is...
What's today?
I've had to turn down like four things. I've got Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson from 33rd Team, used to be from PFF. We're going to talk a little bit about the... because Sam brought it up and it caused a big ruckus, is the consensus board and some others. So we'll talk about some basic draft. Steve even said, we're just going to have a really simple one. We just want to get one in the book so we don't have to work on Thursday. I said, I totally respect that.
Yep.
We can get this done quick. And Amina Kimes, I do it. Three Paul Gallant's podcast, and then Rhett Lewis podcast. So I've got to do four different podcasts. My right eye's all jacked up.
Tell Paul I said hello.
I will.
Love Paul.
Tell Houston I said hello.
Houston I said hello.
I will tell Paul you said hello.
Yeah.
I will tell him. I will tell him that.
Right. No, that'll be fun.
There's a lot of, tell us about who is your favorite pick in the draft, and
mm-hmm.
who is your least favorite team in the draft? And so I only need to get like five answers together because it's the same questions on every pod usually.
Everyone.
Now, Mina's different. She said, I'm going to give you 10 teams. Don't tell me. She said, pick one pick off of each of these teams. Whatever is your most intriguing pick, pick one. Don't tell me what it is and just hit me with it when we get on the air. I said, okay. I like that. That's better. Gives me a little something to work with. And Steve and Sam actually will probably be a little more in-depth, so that'll be good. I don't know what to expect from Paul. Rhett Lewis will be an easy one also. So my draft isn't officially done yet.
Well, if I know Paul, who's the sexiest player in the draft?
He's not going to say who's the sexiest player in the draft. What are we doing here? Paul. It's not how Paul gets down.
Oh. Who's the best GM? James Gladstone. That's who. He loves him some. He loves his draft. He is an interesting dude now. Uh-huh. We got this in the division. James Gladstone is a different kind of guy. His post-draft press conference was interesting.
The Titans have, because Ballard is his own different.
Yeah. Nick Caserio is a bit different.
Nick is a football robot.
Yep.
Gladstone is just different.
Yeah.
Like, he is just a different
guy. I'm
going to
put this in the...
And I can't remember who the Titans have.
Rundown, Dell. We got to hear from James Gladstone. And it's our division, and we got to hear from this guy because he is...
If it wasn't for the fact that it's a division opponent, I would call James and try to get him on the show, just talk to him. But it'll be kind of weird since he's a division opponent, so...
Well...
I know Texans fans are. Why do we have a Jaguar GM? Because he's kind of a little different. We're just trying to. It's just Gladstone gets down kind of different. You know who his right hand man is, right? Well, I talked to him on the phone the other day. He puts me on speaker, and I already knew this because I saw both of them at O-Line Masterminds. That's where I met James. But his right hand man, like really, really close. And they make it like this guy is just in the building on the business side, but he is really, literally the right-hand man for James Gladstone is Tony Boselli.
Oh, yeah?
Tony, he and Tony watch all the tape. Like, Tony is his guy. And Tony works for the Jaguars, and I used to work on the radio side. Then he moved over to the football side, and he is literally, like, analyzing players with James Gladstone. So, you know, I had a good chance to talk to... The other day, Tony Boselli, along with James Gladstone, Tony Boselli was there on speaker, and we were talking about, you know, different players. I don't think Nate Burkacher from A&M came up at all, but I can't recall. But, yeah, Tony, for those who don't know, Tony Boselli was the Texans' first pick in the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
Their second pick, I believe, was Aaron Glenn, who's the head coach, obviously, of the New York Jets. I believe he was number two. You could get a maximum of three players from a team. And so from the Jets, they got Aaron Glenn, Marcus Coleman, and Ryan Young.
Yep.
The tackle.
Yep.
And then we got from the Jags, Tony Boselli, Seth Payne. And look how many media members they were drafted. Mm-hmm. Media members and coaches. Seth Payne, Tony Boselli, and Gary Walker. Pretty good players.
Yep.
Jamie
no, that was a pretty
Sharper
good haul.
From like there were some good players they drafted on that expansion draft on the on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, wasn't gonna say so. Tony was like an all-pro tackle, but he had a shoulder issue, and the league cleared him. The guy one guy they wouldn't clear for the draft was Willie Rofe, who's a Hall of Famer, but they cleared Tony Boselli. Well, Willie Rofe played for several years after that at a high level. Tony Boselli never played football
again. I know. Well, the league, there was something fishy going on there.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I absolutely do think so. How could you not clear him and you could clear Tony Boselli?
Yeah,
and Tony Boselli didn't play another down.
Tony never played for us again.
Yeah, it's a crooked league. It's
I would never say that.
Right. Well, we all know.
Back then it was Tagliabue, yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was a different time before Roger came in and cleaned
what
it up.
What do we make of the Laremy Tunsil trade now that it's all said and done? The Texans received Jalen Noel. Okay.
This is what the trade turned into. This is when it gets real.
Jalen Noel. It helped get Jalen Smith and Jalen Reed. We got all the Jalens.
Jalen Smith, Jalen Reed, and Jalen Noel.
Are the three people. And then Caden McDonald.
It's not bad.
It's a good haul?
I mean, I think Caden McDonald was...
For a starting left tackle, one of the top left tackles. Well, starting left tackle in the
league. Yeah, because you had to do a new deal also. So you got an early second. Yeah, that's actually not bad. That's not bad. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. But Jalen Noel is already a good returner. We're waiting to see what he turns into as wide receiver. Have no idea on Jalen Smith. Reed is a backup. And then Caden McDonald, I think, will become one of the better interior defenders.
Jalen Smith better turn into a player.
Yeah, he needs to. I don't know how he plays. I mean, he's behind a bunch of wolves. So, you know, just when somebody goes down,
like,
you be ready.
It's not like you can't win a job as corner depth on this team. I mean, I'm not sure that they addressed it all that well. We'll see what they do. If they're, you know, obviously they're going to pick up guys and whatnot throughout, but Jalen Smith needs to step up this year. Jalen Smith needs to be a guy. He needs to actually be on the field this year, because if anything happens, God forbid anything happens to
I don't want him on the field, but an injury has happened, but he better be ready.
Yes.
He better be buckled up and ready to roll.
Yeah.
You know, I was not a huge fan of his when, you know, me and Nick don't always see eye to eye on drafts. And he's had some that I've been right on, and he's had some that I've been wrong on. Hmm. Most notably Caden Bullock, but it's funny because everyone around the league has said the same thing. When I talk about the Texans defense, it's funny. People in one of them was James Gladstone. As a matter of fact, we were talking about safeties. He goes, and we were talking about sometimes you can get a guy who's kind of passive as a safety or not as a tackler, and then he gets on a certain team or there's certain expectations and he becomes a better tackler and more aggressive. He goes, yeah, like the Texans. What did you think about when the Texans drafted Caden Bullock? I said, honestly, James, I knew he wasn't a good tackler. I thought, man, I don't know if he's going to make it in the league because he's not a good tackler. He's not aggressive enough. And I said, and like everyone else on the team, it's been incredible. Guys, just the standard has been set by not just Will Anderson, but Azeez Al-Shaair, Kamari Lassiter, D'Amico Ryans. The standard is set like this is how we play football. So you got to come downhill. You're going to have to tackle. You're going to have to, you know, become more aggressive. And that's exactly what's happened is Caden Bullock, who was always really good taking the ball away. It's just like, do you trust him as a last line of defense? He's gotten much better as a tackler. He still has his misses, but he's so much better than he was in college. And this is some guys aren't built for it. They'll never do it. But then other guys, when your expectations are, I just got to put my nose in and be, I mean, that's just the way it is in Houston. And that's the way it is in Houston.
Yep.
Your expectations are, if you don't do that,
oh no!
First of all, you're not getting drafted if you don't do it, unless you have another superpower like taking the ball.
I can't imagine being in that locker room with all those dogs, and they got dogs in there. Will Anderson and Azeez, if you can't tackle, if you miss a bunch of tackles, they're going to be looking at you like, dude, you can't be around here anymore. No.
That's the thing. If you want to fit into that locker room,
you got to run and hit things. Bucky Brooks, when he said, Bucky and Daniel Jeremiah both said this. Bucky, on the broadcast, we were talking about Houston. He said, I'm telling you, he said, I'm on the field level for a game. And I can't, he goes, it's different. We were just talking about the way the Houston Texans play. He goes, it's way different. He goes, there's a level, he goes, Yammer, Mike Yam, he goes, there's a level of violence and aggression on that defensive unit on every play that you just don't see in the NFL. He said, I've been around this a long time. It's very few teams I've ever seen who run and hit on every play like that. Daniel Jeremiah said that when he was preparing for the Chargers game. Like, golly, I turn a tape on. It's just like people flying around hitting everything. Mm-hmm. And like Johnny Harris told me that not this year, but the year before. He's on the field. He goes, Lance, oh my God. I've been doing this since, 2014. Or I think he was on 2014 is when he started, or 15. He goes, I cannot believe what it sounds like when they hit on the field.
It's going to be even better this year.
And now you got Reed Blankenship, who's kind of a killer. And now you've added Cade McDonald, who's just a thumper in the middle. Yeah, man.
Oh, this is going to be great. CJ's going to have his best year ever.
Yeah, Texans. A lot of handing off.
Boom! Super Bowl.
CJ takes a snap, hands it off to Montgomery. Like, that a boy, CJ. Right,
yeah.
Just hang on to the ball. Don't fumble. He's going to keep handing off.
Jeez. Why are we... like you're acting
not
like...
Not on me. Hey, it's his eight turnovers.
Yeah, like
it's not my fault.
Short
eight turnovers in two games. Hand off. Make short completions. I'm not asking for much.
Oh, my
God. You'll get your $50, $60, $80 million. Just don't turn it over.
Don't blame us. Look at how they're treating him. Get all the offensive linemen possible, blocking tight ends. Hey, acquire a running back. What are they saying to us? It's not like, hey, we're opening up this offense and
we're
going, hey, CJ, take us home.
Closed. Yeah. This offense is closed for business.
Yeah.
It's closed.
3 yards and
never
a top defense. That's what they're doing.
No, this is the Lions offense. I told you that.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, no.
The Lions offense.
The Lions offense was creative.
Yeah.
Lions
end
offense.
End rounds.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Through Nick passes
Cayley?
To tackles.
I love Nick Cayley. Amon Ross St. opening
Brown.
It up.
James Whitman.
Nick Johnson.
This is Mike Ditka's offense.
No way.
This is going to be the 85 Bears all over again. A lot of handing off.
A lot of Oh, yeah. I see Walter Payton all over there.
Well, and he got the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get the ball a lot.
Woody Payton? Is that what you're saying?
Ain't going to be a bunch of dropbacks. Okay. I'll just tell you that much.
I'll tell you this. I mean, we need to call HRP on this whole conversation is what we need. I'm going to be with those guys tomorrow, as a matter of fact. They are coming out, and they are sponsoring an event that we're having as well. And they just partner with us. It's what they do. It's why we love HRP, and you will love HRP too. I mean, how many companies have everybody coming in and doing testimonials for them? HRP does. HRP has all these people. You've heard them on our air just saying, hey, man, we love what HRP has done for us. We love what HRP continues to do for us. And HRP continues to do that. They are not going to let up. They are going to make sure that your business is run as well as it possibly can. They're in the business of business, okay? How to take care of your HR, how to take care of your payroll, how to take care of your taxes, how to take care of your 401k, how to take care of your insurance, all your benefits packages. That's what HRP does. They help you be better at business. They know what you don't know, okay? They do it better than you. You are not in the business of payroll or HR or taxes. That's not your business. Do your business. Let HRP take care of the rest for you. HRP.net. Just give them a call. They can come to your business and tell you exactly what's going on and how they can help you. 281. No, listen. Just go to the website. HRP.net. HRP.net.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Back on the show, I think John's watching a video.
I'm watching a golf video. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We got callers in here. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
We got some guys that want to get in here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Stafford is up first again this morning. Stafford, what up? He's up early. Stafford likes to get in early on the show. What's going on, Stafford?
Hey, man. You know, I got to be at the school, man. I'm a teacher, man.
Oh, that's right. But, yeah.
But, man, I woke up to some disturbing stuff, man. I'm seeing that the Rockets, I'm seeing all these reports, the Rockets want to trade for Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, Giannis, Donovan Mitchell. Like, I'm convinced that Raphael Stone just wants to compete. Like, he don't want to win a championship. Like, trading for players, trading for other people's stars, it ain't worked in a long time. Like, it doesn't work. Like, the only team that traded for somebody and it worked out was Kawhi Leonard. And the heavens had to align for that. Klay Thompson had to get hurt. Kevin Durant had to get, you know, like, why do we keep doing this? Like, we got Brooklyn's pick next year. That could be, that could actually be a good pick. You, like, I don't, like, do one of y'all, can y'all talk to this man? Tell him this doesn't work. Please. My sanity, man.
I know the way you feel. I don't feel that way quite yet like this, but I did with the Texans when it was Easterby and Bill running it, where you just see it happening in real time and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's there's a frustration.
Wait a minute. You're putting Easterby on Raphael Stone.
No.
Right,
I said I don't see that with this situation. That's how he sees it, though. Yeah. I know the feeling he has is because that's how Stafford feels. Like, can somebody talk to him? Can somebody get him to don't trade that pick? I will say I am a little concerned. I was also I had that same concern when there was talk about James coming back. But I am a little concerned that they're going to try to do something drastic, like bring Giannis in, and now you're going to have injury prone, bad attitude, low chemistry factor Kevin Durant with Giannis. Who Giannis is a great player. He's surly right now in Milwaukee, but I don't see the same. Like, I don't see chemistry issues with him. Giannis is just kind of surly. But what it's going to do is it's going to, like, I don't trust Durant as a catalyst with anybody, because it hasn't worked. The only time it ever worked, really ever, was with Golden State, and they already had a built-in, you know, three Hall of Famers on their team. If you consider Draymond a Hall of Famer, they had probably three Hall of Famers. That was one you really couldn't screw up. He was just a tremendous talent that they stuck on a team of other tremendously talented players. It's kind of, that was an easy one. But I don't ever see Kevin Durant, like, make things better, really. He's a great player, but he's just an individual Ronin, an independent contractor who comes on and doesn't make chemistry better. He doesn't make anything better. So now you're going to get, so now if you tried to get Giannis, you just get much older. You subtract youth, you subtract depth, and you just close your window to a much shorter window, and then you trust that Kevin Durant can stay healthy. You'll have to do that again, and you have to trust that he can stay engaged and happy to be on a team. It's just a lot. It's a lot to ask, and that's part of it's Durant, but part of it for me is just the fact that if you made a move for Giannis, you are going to be depleting yourself like you've never seen before.
Well, listen, this organization is a win now organization. You know, Jim Crane said, listen, as long as I'm the owner, we're not going to lose. We're going to win. And after all that losing to begin with, they have done that up until now. Now they have found out, wait a minute, all these older players starting to come, it's starting to come due, right? And not paying all those players that have left. It's starting to come due for them. The Rockets are much the same way. They are, after their losing, they want to be a top team in the NBA. Is Giannis one of the best players? Is Kevin Durant one of the best players? Yeah. Apparently there's no care about the future. I mean, honestly, they want to win now. And they thought that this was a team that could be at the top of the NBA this year. We all thought that after this offseason.
Yeah.
We all thought that.
Sure.
We all thought that. If Giannis joins this team now, are they going to be thought of as one of the top teams in the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on who they give up. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, Alpi would for sure be gone, probably.
Are you better with Alpi or with Giannis?
Oh, Giannis, if you just go one and one.
Okay.
But it ain't going to be just why would I just want Alpie? I want Amen Thompson, too. And then I don't want any of your
picks. Well, we'll see what you give up.
I don't want any of your picks. I want Amen and Alpie, and then you can have Giannis, and you can keep your picks. I'm not doing that if I'm the Rockets. I'm going to say, go bleep
yourself. Well, but we'll see what they give up. I would highly doubt they give up
Amen. I don't think they'll do anything. I think he's going to the Knicks, is my guess. My guess is he'll be a Knick.
Yeah. But is this team as constructed right now? Stafford, it's not a championship. This is not a championship team.
Okay, but what if...
And I don't. What do you have to add to Alpie, Jabari, Reed, Amen?
Okay, Fred.
What do you have to add?
Fred and Steven Adams, does that...
Okay, is that a championship team?
I don't know. I'm asking. I just want to make sure we do the whole team. Is that a championship team? I still don't think over Oklahoma City. You could be, even if you have all that, you could be in another Golden State situation where you have a good team, they have a better team. And their better team is not old.
Yeah.
Like, their better team is young.
Well, and now you got the Spurs to deal with as well.
Yeah. So now another team has sprung up because
of
generational
players.
Well, guess
what, though? That's the league. Sorry. The league. Oh, what, did you want to just walk into a title?
No. Yes, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I always like to walk into the easiest wins as possible. But
I'm sorry. Your team took the hardest route in NBA history to win a title.
It was pretty sweet. It was also extremely
nerve-wracking.
Yes,
it was.
Like, it was. Every game, like... Literally, my son Drake was being born, and it had just been born, and the Rockets were having to come up with a miracle win in Phoenix where they didn't even play well, and they pulled off that miracle Danny Ainge throws the ball in your face Mario Elie game in overtime. You were there, probably. Uh-huh.
I was.
Yeah.
I was there. Absolutely. That was, oh, my God. Those were some kind of wars.
Oh,
those were so much
like
fun.
Crazy.
So much fun. Let's quickly get Jim in here, and then we'll take a break. Anybody wants in, 713-780-3776. What do you say, Jim?
Hey, guys. How's the Hall of Fame?
It's pretty good so far.
It is what it is. It's what we are.
There's nothing we can do about it. Hall of Fame.
Beautiful show. I just want to say, first of all, I got a couple of questions for Lance on the draft. I'm not saying any draft is conclusive right after it happens, but wasn't the kid, the first pick, wasn't that a reach when you could have probably traded out of the first round? And then what is Lance's thought on the Clemson linebacker? And you guys tell me if I'm wrong. I think our problem is, you just talked about the defense. You're exactly right. The speed on the defense is very it's noticeable on the TV. Speed everywhere. Don't you think CJ needs guys that can get the ball out of his hand quickly, get it in space, and guys that can make plays? And I wish, you know, our GM Casario always says it's the best player available. He's a liar. But anyway, that's all I got to say. Just kind of passionate about it. And I think we need to get more speed on the offense and see what you guys think. Thanks.
Del liked that one.
He's a liar.
Well, yeah, I don't know that he was lying to you, Jim, per se, but I mean, he believes that. It's best player along with need. There's no question.
Best player at a position of need. Yeah. They don't say that out loud, but it's always
that's the truth.
There is a belief from people that you could trade back and get Rutledge. Listen, this is where you cannot trust the consensus board. You see grades like my grade or where I had him. I had him in like the grade would put him in the 60s, I think, with Rutledge. But he's also tied. Like, it's once you hit a 6'2", it's all the same grade. Once you hit a 6'3", it's all the same grade. It's just minor stacking. So then Daniel Jeremiah will have a number and Dame Brugler will have a number. The fact is, the Raiders wanted him. I know for a fact, I'd heard before the draft the Raiders were going to take him if he was there. And the Raiders were picking at pick number 30. Well, I got to see what because the Texans, I don't know where the Raiders, because the Raiders ended up drafting 38th, but then that's where the Texans originally were. So the Raiders must have had another trade. The Raiders were like 36, I think, or 35 maybe, before the, so there was a slew of trades in the second round. And the Raiders were ahead of you by about three. You would have had to have found a way to get ahead of the Raiders. So you still would have had to have traded up. And remember, the 49ers made a trade into pick number 33 because they wanted Stribling. So they traded into the 33rd pick. So now, if you didn't take Rutledge there, you would have had to have traded ahead of at least the Raiders. There's no telling who would have. There's no telling if someone would have jumped up, because around the league, we were all talking behind the scenes about where guys were going to go. And the talk was, once Peter Schrager put Keelan Rutledge in the first round, because Peter Schrager put him in the mock, he was the first one to have him in the mock in the first round, that alerted everyone, because Peter Schrager's real tied into certain teams. And when Schrager put him in the first round, that was a real warning shot, because it was something a lot of us had talked about, like, the guy who could be the surprise is Keelan Rutledge. That was the talk late. And so I do not begrudge. Too many people are splitting hairs, like, well, why would you get him at 28 when you maybe could have traded back to 35? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Just get your guy.
Yeah.
You have, I agree. Some point, you ended up getting Rutledge and McDonald. Who cares which order they got him in? Those are your first two players. That's the only thing that matters, right? Is you got one guy that you hope is a longtime starter at center, probably, and the other guy, long-term starter at defensive tackle. Why are you so worried about the minutiae of a fourth-round pick or whatever to move up? Like, go get good players. This is not a team that's got a bunch of giant holes on the roster. They need excellent players, good players. They got two good football players.
That's it.
I don't see any problems with it. I honestly don't. Yep. Wade Woodhouse, Clemson, good backup linebacker who's going to be a good special teams player. You know, it's that's what fourth round linebackers are. He'll back up Henry Toto'o, maybe compete for that job if they let Toto'o walk, which I don't think they will, but I don't know how they're going to pay everybody. Remember, his contract's up, and Aziz Alshire's contract is up after this year.
We'll see who they keep. They love Shai. They love both those guys.
I know they do.
But you can't keep
everybody.
Them
both.
I don't. For some,
I don't know. How
some
they keep
reason
them both.
They need to explain to Jim Crane how to keep your own players, right?
Well, if they capped baseball, it'd be a little easier,
right?
Because then they could move money to future years like the Dodgers do.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, so they need to learn how the Dodgers do that, and uh-huh. the Texans do that, and all NFL teams. Because it's really tiresome to see everybody leave.
He feels like Cool Drayton. Like, you know the only thing missing from him? You have any money, John? You want to kick in something for me to keep all these players? Like Drayton used to tell you. Yeah. Well, I would love to keep every player. Do you have some money in your pocket I could use?
He asked me, John, do you have... hey, Drayton, you're going to be able to sign Jeff Bagwell to an extension? Do you got any money? Yeah, I could use some. What's up? All right,
Jim just doesn't talk like that.
No.
But I feel like he's operating like that now.
Time to talk about golf now. All right, we're talking about golf this week. What about golf next week? The Insperity is coming to the Houston area. Well, it's coming up to the Woodlands, PGA Tour champions coming up there. Guys you all know, Angel Cabrera, Darren Clark, John Daly, David Duval, Zach Johnson, Bernard Langer, Vijay Singh, Colin Montgomery, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, okay? Stuart Sink, the defending champ, going to be here. All of them are going to be here for the Insperity Invitational, and you can go as well. Go to InsperityInvitational.com. And then, of course, the Folds of Honor on Saturday. Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez, Hale Irwin, Lara Davies, Sir Nick Faldo. Are you kidding me? All going to be here on Saturday, a tradition of excellence. You're looking for a great... Wear your red, white, and blue out there, because it is an honor to watch the Folds of Honor Saturday, May 9th. This is all happening all next week in the Woodlands. They've got pro-ams. They got everything going on next week up in the Woodlands. The Insperity 2026. Go to InsperityInvitational.com. InsperityInvitational.com.
I know I can't afford to stop for one moment. That it's too soon to fall.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Boy, this Brendan Sorsby story, holy crap. Dude, so the Cincinnati quarterback who went to Texas Tech,
He's not going to play football for Texas Tech. He is on
He's done.
An immediate absence, leave of absence for a gambling addiction. Apparently he, dude cannot stop. He goes to Cincinnati Reds baseball games and he bet on every pitch. Every bet ball.
They said he bet small bets, but thousands and thousands of dollars on small bets. Made thousands of bets. And I don't know how they found this out. I don't know, you know.
And when he was at Indiana as a backup, he was betting on Indiana games.
Yeah, not against.
Which, if you're a backup, you should be able to throw a little something.
You have individual knowledge of game plan. That's one that's going to keep him from ever playing football.
Yeah, right.
He will never play college football again because he bet on.
He may never play football again, period.
He's a quarterback. He'll play. You got to do some terrible things not to play if you're a quarterback.
Well, okay.
Not college. I know his. We know his agent.
We do?
Yeah. Mm. Not the one who listens to the show.
Oh, okay.
The one I told you about that you would like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's his guy. And he thinks that they, and that agent thinks that they will win this. Well, the battle he had was against Cincinnati because Cincinnati was suing him for $1 million for breaking contract and leaving Cincinnati. So I know that agent thought, we'll win this. We'll win this. It's a labor law thing. We will win this, Cincinnati. He won't win this one. There is no winning this one. You gambled on football, and once he found out he was going down, it was the old Vrabel thing, like, I'm going to take this opportunity. Before anything breaks, you take the opportunity to go get help. I'm going and checking into a gambling addiction. And then right about the same time, the news comes out. Once they're alerted to the fact that, hey, we've got this stuff and you're in trouble, then you go seek help. And hopefully he gets it taken care of. He's not playing NCAA football this year.
No. Ever.
Now, he bet on other teams, which will get you kicked off for half the year. But the fact that he bet on one of his own teams means he probably won't ever play college football again.
Yeah.
So he'll be in the draft, my guess, is next year.
How do you handle that if you're an NFL team? A guy who couldn't even play because he was at a gambling addiction.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Have we seen anything? Get drafted like that?
We haven't. This is the first time. It's just where it started to come around. We saw Calvin Ridley lose a whole year.
Yeah. No, I know. But I know that. I'm talking about drafting someone.
Well, this is the first
who
time.
Who didn't even play. There are guys who have been drafted, they didn't play because of injury.
Right.
But not because of an addiction like this.
No.
No.
No. Not that I mean, I'm sure there has been, but I can't recall. And certainly not a high-profile first-rounder like that. Sorsby was, I haven't studied him yet, but he's one of the names to keep an eye on. And this is Texas Tech, who spends a bunch of money in the portal. You lose a quarterback this late in the game, there's not anything really left.
Yeah, well, they've got the backup Hammond, but he's been hurt. He's the guy that stepped in. He actually lost the Arizona State game. Remember when he looked pretty good, though. He didn't look bad.
Not U of H, yeah. I know it's weird. When they lost, when they got upset by Arizona State.
Yeah.
I think that, they'll either have to do that or see if there's somebody else in the portal. I mean, they'll have to bring somebody in, even if it's to compete with Hammond or back Hammond up. But, yeah, Sorsby, I don't know. That's a quarterback who is going to get some attention come draft time, and so now he's gone. He will not be coming back. Oh, yeah, Jeff makes a good point. It's in time that he could go in the supplemental draft this year.
Ooh.
That's right, because from a timing standpoint, he could go supplemental.
Who gets out of rehab first, him or Vrabel?
Vrabel's already out of rehab.
Oh, yeah. Vrabel's already out. But he's going to have to go back.
Did we talk about the Pete Schrager tweet at all on the show?
No.
So Pete Schrager put a tweet out. Mike Vrabel's been in lockstep communication with the Patriots, for this throughout the draft. He just made a comment like that and then deleted it. Somebody goes, Vrabel, what are you talking about, dude? What? Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. He said he wasn't going to. It was one of these situations where Schrager forgot that Vrabel said he was third. It's going to be just with his family on day three.
Right.
And he put that tweet and immediately had deleted it real quick. And then came back and said, I have not had any conversations with Mike. I don't know what he's been doing. Like, come on. We already knew. We already knew what the deal was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so there is a apparently when the Mike Vrabel coach team, I guess the Titans were on a 4-game losing streak. She put Diana Rossini put together a song list. I mean,
a playlist on Spotify.
A playlist, yeah.
On so it was about turning the page or something like that.
Oh yeah. My God! Yeah. You know, she finally deleted her Twitter,
and she deleted forever. That playlist once people found it.
Yeah. So she has had. She was so slow. The first rule of Fight Club is to delete all of your social media immediately. Instead, she let it sit up and let the hounds pick through every tweet. They went and found stuff from 21. They went and found Spotify playlists. Yeah. Like, how do you not shut – this should be a rule to everyone. Shut everything down. Make everything private. Delete it. You know, deactivate your accounts. She just let it sit up there forever for Twitter investigators to go through everything, and they found everything. Like, she just couldn't – she just had to this is a great example of when you live everything out publicly.
Yeah.
And you just think you don't have to have any filter because you just, well, it's not real life.
Yeah, there are so many signs there with the, oh, I'm thinking of what great coaches that were named Mike and coaches and players who were
as
named Mike.
As I look
Mike.
At my son, Michael, like, oh my God. Now you're, you know what this intimates? Like, what are you doing?
She's going to have to really get someone to take out some dude named Chase Snyder on Twitter. I don't know why he's a current Houstonian, but he's a Kansas City guy. He has really done a deep dive and is now putting out there that the timeline of when one of her children were born and when she was in Tennessee.
I've seen that.
She should really have somebody have a – I don't know what you do, but he is going deep and is now speculating that, okay, you name one kid the same as Vrabel. I got timelines that would suggest that you conceived another at a certain point when you were in the same location.
So the only way, other than, you know, taking care of, you obviously try to hire somebody to go dig up
dirt
on him.
That's what I mean. Or just somehow get
No. The only way you can
go deleted or something.
The only way you can go at a troll like that is to go send a private. You have to go try to dig stuff up and make their life. I'm saying I'm not condoning this, but the best way to deal with those trolls is play their own game and go try to ruin their lives. I'm not condoning it, but you have to get into and see if you can find any dirt on them, talk to whatever, try to dig up anything and start bringing it up publicly. That's really the only way you can do that is to – people don't do that, but you really have to turn around and go – if you know the troll's actual name – and you can get back where they go to work, where they work,
well,
and things
this
like
guy's
that.
Not hiding. It's just that he's done so much to dig in on her.
You almost have to go after
her.
It's like she would have, and I'm not condoning, and I'm not, you know, for anything. But the nastiest work you could put in is go try to find stuff on him, on his family, on his wife. That's the only way that she could try to make a comeback to back him off is to literally go at him the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's I want to make sure I tell. I'm not condoning that. I'm saying if you want to put in nasty work,
the game is the game.
Yeah.
I've watched too much television and streaming shows to know how this – it's obviously the shows that aren't real life.
It's really not how Jesus would go about it, Lance.
No, it's
turn
not.
The other cheek, sir.
Yes.
Diana Rossini wasn't rolling that Jesus path either, was she?
Was she? Yeah, Mary Magdalene.
That's fair. Well, I mean, in a way.
Well, I don't know if she's Mary Magdalene.
No, actually, yeah. Mary wasn't out there like that.
No, well, Mary was, but she was
a prostitute.
Being paid for her services.
Right. She was not out there like, and let me tell you something, my husband's a dope.
Oh, well, yeah,
he's a simpleton
did not do
and
that.
A dope. He's ugly and a simpleton. Like, she never said stuff like that.
Oh, Mary Magdalene.
Oh, he's always mad about the Eagles. I can't live in a house like this.
She goes, I won't.
How is that house? We talk about Vrabel. No, Vrabel's house got to be uncomfortable.
Way worse.
But listen, she's home now every day, can't go out. She can't do anything. How is that house?
I don't see how that was.
I'm not even sure that's my kid anymore.
That's tough. Because we don't know the inner workings of that relationship. It could be an open relationship. We don't know.
Yeah.
Now he probably wouldn't have want it public, even if it was an open relationship.
It's unlikely.
I just say we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. But yes, in a traditional marriage,
yeah,
it's got to be hell in that home.
Oh, and both houses.
Both houses. Yeah.
Both houses can't be comfortable. Vrabel did not look comfortable yesterday at the podium. He was very uncomfortable.
This is why I asked. Can he still be Vrabel?
Yeah, I don't think so. I had a discussion about this with a coach, and I said he just can't be that same guy that he's been walking. He has been a huge presence. Who was it that said this, that he's no longer that guy just these past couple of weeks in that building? Because he was so cocksure, and he was just a big, big, big presence. Now he's sheepish, Mike Vrabel, yeah. Which you can't be.
How do you do that as a head coach?
Well, yeah, for right now. Dell, I'm going to we come back. Well, just to put a bow on this, we'll play the soundbite from Pete Schrager, on the broadcast talking about Mike Vrabel. And then I'll read the tweet right after. So apparently it wasn't a tweet. He had something he actually said.
Oh, he said it on the air.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't talked to anybody. Hey, what does it sound like to protest your property taxes? Sounds like a hassle?
No more taxes! No more taxes! Does it sound like that?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Actually sucks. I've done it. I protested it myself. You got it. And I mean, the technology that Ownwell has that you don't have, you know, I went to the site of how much all the houses are worth in my neighborhood, and they came back at me and said, listen, stop already, because that house was built at this time, and you don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, and I lose. Ownwell doesn't lose. Ownwell, how about this? A 94% success rate. In Montgomery County, houses 250 to 500,000. A 94% success rate. That means that the government is correct 6% of the time. I mean, some Astros rookies are hitting better than that. If you're looking for the best way to fight this, Ownwell, just kicking ass. 21 to 51% higher than their competitors in Harris County. On average, net savings, 21 to 51% higher. Doubling your money in Brazoria County on houses $500,000 to $750,000 range. More than two times what they save by using other firms. It's just a stat after stat after stat that if you are going to fight your property taxes, you make one call. You just go to, you don't make a call. You go to ownwell.com. Go to ownwell.com and start. It takes 3 minutes to sign up. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at ownwell.com.